Good morning. Man, how's everybody doing this morning? Good. Looks like we've got a great crowd here today. I want to welcome everyone that's here, especially those of you who are visiting with us the first time today. We also want to welcome those of you who are joining us live. We're just so glad that you're a part of our worship wherever you're coming from today. As you guys can see, right now we're in a series entitled Something's Missing. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like something was missing in your life? Well, listen, if you're just coming into this series, I want to encourage you to go back and watch our previous two lessons, either off of our webpage or our church page, or you can choose to listen to the lessons off of our podcast as you're driving down the road. We also have a podcast where you can listen to these lessons as well. But I want to encourage you to go back because I think this is a very, very important series. Now, we're going to be continuing our series today, and I basically just want to begin by reminding you of a word that came into our vocabulary back in 2013 for the first time. This was just 8 years ago, and it's so hard to believe that it was just 8 years ago that we were introduced to this word because it's become such a huge part of our culture today. But the word I'm referring to is selfie, right? You young people, you don't realize this, but listen, I grew up in a time, your parents grew up in a time where we never heard the word selfie. No one ever said, hey, jump in with me, let's take a selfie. But yet, this is such an important word to us today. Everybody's out here with their phones and they're taking selfies. And well, let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you would say that there have been times when you've been in a selfie, okay, and you looked at yourself and you weren't real happy with what you saw? Thank you for your honesty, Dawn. In fact, let me ask you this question. When you look at a selfie for the first time, who do you typically look at first? Yourself, right? Is my hair right? For me, do I have three chins? That's one of the things that I can't stand about selfies for me. Like when I'm taking a selfie, I've always got like three chins. I mean, it looks like an accordion down through here. And so I've developed, my family will tell you, I've developed this neck stretch, okay? I don't like taking selfies, but if I have to do it, I stretch out my neck like this, you know, or I'll kind of look up a little bit to kind of stretch that out a little bit. But selfies are a big part of our culture today. And, you know, here's the thing. Selfies are not just about pictures. The selfie world is also a state of mind. And what I mean by that is we can be tempted to become consumed with ourselves, right? Just listen, and these are some of the things that I've gathered this week, but from a self standpoint, listen, we live in a time today where we've never had more health clubs, more self-improvement programs, more life coaches, more private tutors, more personal trainers, more specialized therapists than ever before, right? And yet we still wonder at times what's missing. I mean, I've got all this. I've been working on all this, but it just seems like something is missing in my life. And what I want you to consider today is really a radical thought. What if the way to a better me was through we? What if we truly got better together? Have you ever just noticed that there are some things in life that are better together, that are better with other people? How many of you like to go to amusement parks? How many of you have ever gone to an amusement park by yourself? Okay, we have a couple. And I'm sure that it was fun, right? I mean, even though you went by yourself, I'm sure that it was great, it was awesome, it was fun. But how many of you will openly admit that when you go to Disney or Legoland, you go to an amusement park of some kind, it's just better when you're surrounded by either family or friends? It's just better being together. One of the things that I love to do, one of my hobbies, is disc golf. And I've played by myself, and I still have, you know, fun when I'm out there, even by myself. But it is so much better when I get to play with my son, Shepherd, or when I get to play with my son-in-laws, Luke and Jaden, or when I get to play with a friend like Daryl Venable. It's just so much better together. And in fact, during Thanksgiving, Julie's family all came down, and we all got to play disc golf together, a lot of us guys. And, well, first of all, let me point out, see, this is what I'm talking about. Y'all see the double chin right there on Kevin taking the picture? See, you got to stretch that out when you're doing the selfie. But anyway, we're out there playing disc golf, and on the very first hole, my son-in-law, Luke Reynolds, throws it, and it goes right in the basket. He aces the very first hole. It's the first time I'd ever been a part of something like that. And all of us, man, we're jumping up and down, and we're grabbing him, and we're patting him on the back. We all signed his disc, and it was just absolutely awesome. And I guarantee you that Luke would probably tell you, listen, if I'd have done the same thing by myself, it would have been wonderful. It would have been great. But man, rejoicing and celebrating with everybody else, I mean, there's something special about that. It's better, right? It's better when we get to do this life together. That's why you never hear of anyone winning an all-expense trip for one, right? Because trips are better when we take them together, when we take them with others. Listen, if you want to go fast, just go alone. But if you want to go far, then go with others. Go together. And here's the point of the lesson. Spiritually speaking, that's even more important. In fact, if we want to go far in our relationship with God, we've got to go together. That's why we're a family. That's what we did today as we gathered around to partake of the Lord's Supper, to take communion. Right, we commune together, we come together to celebrate what the Lord has done for us and done in our life. I mean, it's just so much better when we can come together. It's easier to connect with God. It's easier to heal. It's easier to face our fears. Together, we're better in facing temptations. In fact, Sharon Miller, she works with me on my PowerPoint slides, and she reminded me of this passage this week, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even, what church, said out loud, are better, for a triple branded cord is not easily broken. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, Slate, I get what you're saying. And that's true. It is better with some things. Like, I can see how it'd be better together when you're working out. You know, you've got some accountability. I can see how it'd be better together when you're dieting. You know, you've got a support system. But, I mean, to be honest, Slate, I mean, when it comes to God, isn't that kind of a personal thing? Well, probably not as much as you would think. In fact, did you know that all of us were hardwired by God to need other people in our lives? to have community, to connect with others. In fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but even God Himself exists in community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God has community and connection. And here's the deal. Look at this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, then God said, let what church? Said out loud. Let us, notice the plurality there, make human beings in our what? In our image to be like who? To be like us. In other words, God exists in community. And guess what? You and I, we were created in His image to be like Him. In other words, you and I, we need community. We need connection. In fact, when God was creating the world, after He created the moon and the stars, He said, it is what, church? It is good. And then after He created the plants and the animals, He said, it is what? It is good. And then after He made man, He said, it is very good. But then shortly after God made man, He's looking over everything and He says, you know what? There is something that's not good here. And it's pointed out in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is what, church? Not good for man to be what? To be alone. It's not good. And so God created another human being for the sake of relationship, for the sake of togetherness, for the sake of doing away with loneliness. And Eve, because of her reproductive capabilities, would not only meet that relational need in Adam's life and he and hers, but they could also have a family which would provide another type of togetherness as well. You know, when Jesus came to this earth, He understood how much we needed community and connection. In fact, He handpicked 12 men, and these men couldn't be any more different towards each other. I mean, you got fishermen, you've got tax collectors, you've got all these different men, and they're just so different, but these men became like brothers to one another, and they banded together, and they did life together, and they helped each other reach their full spiritual potential. We need each other because life's just better together. I think about the first followers of Jesus after He ascended into heaven. Remember, they met in that upper room, the same upper room where Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper, where He had washed their feet. But do you remember what it says? Acts chapter 1, verse 14. After Jesus assembled, it says that they all met, what, church? Together, and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. Then you go into the very first verse of the next chapter, and it says all the believers were what, church? They were meeting together. And then as you get towards the end of this same chapter, it talks about how there were over 3,000 people who became believers, and they were baptized into Christ, which some of you need to make that decision. Now that you have faith in Jesus, you need to put on Christ in baptism. And after they were baptized into Christ, look at what it says, verses 44 through 47. And all the believers met what? Together in one place, and they shared everything they had, and they worshiped what? Together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And it goes on to say that each day the Lord added to their what? Their fellowship, those who were being saved. Now, does anyone see a continual theme here? Those people who were a part of the very first church figured out that life is better together. And as you continue to read the New Testament, we see how they continued to stay together. They met in homes for small group, and they continued to worship with one another. And in fact, as you get into 1 Corinthians, Paul starts using a metaphor for the church. He starts referring to the church as a body. Now, why a body? Why would you connect the human body to the church family? Well, look at what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 13. Our own body has many parts. When all these many parts are what, church? Put together, they are only one body. The body of Christ is like this. It is the same way with us. Jews are those who are not Jews, men who are owned by someone or men who are free to do what they want to do, have all been baptized into what, church? Into one body. Notice the people who were a part of the church at Corinth, they were very different from each other, but they were together. There were Jews and there were Gentiles. There were slaves and those who were free. But they were together. And that's God's dream for His church. It's always been His dream. I mean, you go back to John chapter 17 and you look at Jesus' prayer, and we don't have time to read all of that, but His prayer centered around His people coming together and being one, just like you and me, Father, just like we are one. This is my prayer for the church, that they would come together. All races, all ages, all different economic positions. Doesn't matter what your political party is or your sports team, but that we would all come together and be one because we are better together. And so what I want to do for the remainder of our time today is I want to compare and contrast what God hardwired us for, that we're better together as His church, as His people, as a body, as a family, with some images that capture how some think of church in our culture today. And here's the first. When some people think about the church, they think about a movie theater, or at least they kind of view the church like a movie theater. Last night, some of our young people from Central went out to watch a movie, and here's the question. Why do we go to the movies? To be entertained, right? We enjoy that, and oftentimes after we leave the movie theater, what happens, whether it's intentional or unintentional, is we go into critic mode, right? To where we kind of look at each other and it's like, so what'd you think? You know, was it a good movie? Was it a bad movie? Did the plot drag? Did it keep our attention right? And we begin, again, whether it's intentional or unintentional, we begin to critique the movie. And what I want us to do is stop and think about how we approach the church, because I think sometimes subconsciously we approach the church the same way. We think of ourselves as an audience. And we come to be entertained and hopefully inspired. And when we walk out, we're tempted subconsciously to criticize or critique. What'd you think of the lesson today? Well, I thought the lesson was okay, but man, the singing was absolutely terrible. Hated the songs. You know what? Those songs just absolutely did nothing for me. But the church that we read about in Scripture that changed the world, they didn't think of themselves as an audience. They didn't think of themselves as coming to be entertained. In fact, write this down. You and I, and this is what we need to understand, you and I are not the reason we have gathered here. And I think so oftentimes we miss this very important point. This is not all about us. It's about God. That's why we're here today. And let me tell you something. There is something awesome. There is something that's absolutely amazing when we come together as a church family, as the body of Christ, as believers in Christ, and we worship our God and we exalt our God in praise. Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. He says, "For where two or three are gathered," what church? "Together as my followers," he says, "I am there among them." Isn't that crazy? Think about that. Do you realize that God is here right now? He's among us. He's here as we partook of the Lord's Supper, as we worshiped Him in song, as we talked to Him in prayer. He says, "I'm right there with you. I am among you." That's why the Hebrew writer placed so much importance on this. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, he says, "And let us not neglect our meeting," what? "Together," as some people do, "but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return," talking about the return of Jesus, "is drawing near." Listen, it's in times like these where the Holy Spirit challenges us, convicts us, confronts us. It's in environments like this that our souls are regularly refueled and recharged with God's presence and just being in the presence of our brothers and sisters in Christ who uplift us and encourage us as we begin the week. I've had so many people over my 25 years of ministry who have told me after services, "Slate, man, it's just been a really rough week. And I almost didn't come." And then they always follow it up by saying, "But I am so glad I did." Why? Because there's just something being together, right? Something about it, being together, encouraging one another, being in the presence of God, His power, His love. I mean, we get this awareness that, you know what? He's always with us. And so my prayer for us is that when we come together, we don't come together to be entertained, but rather we come together to pursue God together. Another way that people often look at the church is like a store. What do we do when we go to a store? We shop, right? Why? Because we're consumers. That's what we do. And what we're going to do is we're going to shop for what we want, and we're going to shop for the best prices. And I don't know about you, but if I go to Walmart and I can't find what I'm shopping for, then you know what? I'll just go to Publix. If I can't find it at Publix, I'll just go to Aldi or I'll go to Target. But I'll just keep shopping around till I find exactly what I want. And I'm afraid this consumer-based mentality has become a part of the church culture as well, to the point to where you even hear people who are like visiting for the first time, and I know they don't mean it like they say it, but oftentimes people will be visiting for the first time, and I'll say, "What brought you to Central?" And they'll look at me and they'll say, "Oh, we're just church shopping," right? We're just shopping around. Well, what do consumers want out of a store? Well, we're looking for what we want. It's about me, my desires, my programs, my songs. It's all about what I want, but that's not what we see in the Scriptures. The church, the first century church, was about one another, where they loved and were loved, where they served and were served, where they wept with those who wept and they rejoiced with those who rejoiced. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. And so again, here is my prayer for us that as a church, we would be a people where we genuinely build community together. That we would have a family mentality when we come together, where we would think about the needs of others and not just our own. Let me stop right here and say something else, because I know that some of you, as I talk about the church, some of you may say, well, Slate, this is really the first time I've been back to church in a long time, because we've had some bad experiences. We've gone to some different churches and, you know, some people have just really let us down there. And well, let me stop right here and warn you of this. Central is an imperfect family as well. Wow, you didn't have to say amen there, Richard. A lot of times when you could have said amen and you choose that time, that's great. Here's the deal. This is what you need to understand. Every church has its problems. Every church is a dysfunctional family. Are you with me? You're going to find that here. I mean, even at Central, you're going to find your crazy cousin Eddie's here, right? I mean, it's going to happen. We all have them. And in fact, it's kind of funny. Julie kind of straightens me out this way. Julie and I, we've been talking on occasion, and I'll just say, man, that individual is just crazy. And Julie always looks at me and says, I think we're all a little crazy at times. And she's right. She nailed it on the head. Central's no exception, but you need to understand that's part of being a family. Even though it's not perfect, we love each other, and we come together to encourage each other and to lift each other up and to grow together in a relationship with God. And then one other way I think oftentimes people view the church is like a restaurant. When you go to a sit-down restaurant, what do you expect? You expect to be served. You expect to be waited upon, right? How would you like it if you walked into a restaurant and right when you walked in the door, they handed you a wet rag and said, hey, would you go back there and wipe off some tables for us? Or how would you feel if you walked into a restaurant and they said, hey, we need you back here in the kitchen. Listen, help us prepare all these meals, and then once we serve everybody else, we'll make sure that you get some food a little later. Or hey, could you get back here and wash some dishes for us? Some of you probably experienced that. Maybe you left your wallet behind at home. It's like, oh man, I don't have any money. I'll get back here and start helping in the kitchen, right? I doubt that would be marked, if we did something like that, as a model of success for a restaurant. To ask people as they come through the front door, hey, you need to help out. You need to start serving. I think oftentimes we're kind of offended by that when it comes to the church as well. You know, in our minds, we can be tempted to think that the church is like a restaurant where we're just supposed to come and we're supposed to sit down and we're supposed to be served and we're supposed to be fed. In fact, I've often heard, again, through my 25 years of ministry, people have said to me, we're looking for a church where we can be fed more. But listen, if you want to grow spiritually, understand this. Babies have to be fed, but adults learn to feed themselves. Right? Let me do something real quick. Richard, since you've already amen this morning, you come on up here, brother. I tell you what, Junior, will you come up here too? Help me out. Junior, you stand over here. Richard, you stand over here. You grab this in. Junior, you grab that in. Y'all, will y'all kind of pull that tight? Okay, good. So basically what you're looking at here is a rope that is 168 inches long. Y'all hold that up a little bit. Okay, can y'all see that? It's 168 inches long. Now, the reason I made it 168 inches long is because there are 168 hours in a week. Are you with me? Now, I think that probably for most of us here, we're here today because we want to grow in our relationship with God, right? I mean, that's why we're here. But you see, here's what can happen over the course of a week. I mean, we've got so many other things going on. We've got to eat. We've got to prepare the food that we eat. We've got to sleep, and we've got work, and our kids have got to go to school, and then they've got their after school activities, sports and band and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, there's the outside of our homes that have to be maintained, and the inside of our homes that have to be cleaned, and there's laundry that has to be washed. And of course, there's social media. We got to check our social media. And of course, there's our favorite television shows, right? I mean, we've got to make sure that we watch our favorite television shows. And so I think what can happen, and this is about an inch in width. I think what can happen is we can get to the point to where in that 168 hours that we are satisfied with 1 hour a week. Just coming together like we're doing right now. In the course of a week, we're hoping to fill what's missing in our life. We're expecting to get all that God has for us, and we're expecting this in just 1 hour. But what if we decided that we were going to study the Bible at home? We were going to feed ourselves at home, and we were going to feed our kids so that they could grow. What if we decided that we were going to join a small group? And what if we decided that we were going to attend a Bible class during the week? And what if we decided that instead of being served, that we ourselves was going to serve other people? I'm talking about, listen, getting into the kitchen and pulling away from the table where we're saying, feed me, feed me, feed me, give me more. But we're actually the ones doing the serving. What would happen if we decided to spend time with our neighbors? Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Junior, you did a great job. You know I love you, Richard. Am I going to pursue God with others? Am I going to pull away from the table to the kitchen? Now, some of you may be thinking, well, Slate, that's fine. You know, if all this better together stuff works for some, that's great. But listen, this is just not for me. I can do everything spiritually in my life on my own. And so for many, they just simply watch what goes on at Central. And they never experience what goes on. They're aware of the opportunities here at Central, but they never participate. And they see lots of people here at Central, but they don't know many people here. They like attending services, but they're not linked together with anyone beyond the services. And if I'm describing you this morning, let me ask you, where is that going to take you spiritually? Is that really working on what's missing in your life? Again, let me remind you, God hardwired us from the very beginning to need each other. We're better together. And so if we want to go far with God in life, we've got to go together. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for bringing us together today. We're so thankful for this opportunity to come and worship you. And Father, I'm just thankful for the church here at Central. Thankful that there are so many opportunities, so many different ways for us to connect, whether it's Bible class or small group or just being able to visit and spend time with one another outside these walls. Father, you've just blessed us with a tremendous family, one that's not necessarily perfect, but one that is saved by your grace and your mercy, where we can come together at your feet and lift each other up and grow together to become more like you. Thank you so much for your church. And Father, we just pray that you will continue to help us to reach out to our community, to people in the world, to let them see how wonderful it is to be a part of your family. And Father, we just pray this prayer in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. The invitation's yours today. If you have a need, whether it's prayers for something going on in your life right now, we also have a cross up here, and you'll see the different nails, and there's paper and pen down at the bottom. It's kind of intimidating to think about coming forward in front of everyone. And so if you want to come forward and after our lesson's over and write something down that you need prayers for, our elders, they pray over these things. I pray over these things as well. If there's someone here today that is ready to put on Christ in baptism, man, let me tell you something. We've got the water. If you need something to change into, we can make all of that happen. And I just want to encourage you today to give your life to Jesus. It will absolutely change your life. I was blessed to be up here late Wednesday night. The Spanish church had a lady who wanted to give her life to Christ. And so anyway, I got to be up here with them. And man, it was just a special time when the lady came up out of the water and just realizing how her sins had been completely washed away in the blood of Jesus. Man, she just began to weep, and the church that was here began to sing. And I don't even know exactly what they were singing. I don't know Spanish real well, but I tell you, it was awesome. And man, it would be awesome for you to give your life to Jesus too. And again, this may be one of those things that's kind of intimidating in front of everyone. But listen, I'll wait around after services are over. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, we can do it together. And if you decide to do it in front of everyone, you'll have some brothers and sisters today who will rejoice and celebrate and be up here with you when you make that decision. But whatever the need is, if you want to give your life to Jesus or if you need prayers, then come together as we stand and sing.